You are listening to Unleash Your Magnificence with Goddess Arian Moore.
Welcome to the show tonight. This is Goddess Arian Moore, and this is Unleash Your Magnificence. And Happy New Year, and welcome to 2012, and I hope that you are ready to embrace the gift that 2012 brings. Tonight, I have Dr. Lori Moore on. She is an animal intuitive, and she is the owner and creator of www.animiracles.com. Dr. Lori Moore offers counseling sessions for people and animal communication sessions as well. She's available in person, by phone, by email, and also by Skype. Her television show, Universal Love and Animal Communication, is played in a variety of television stations in the USA. You may also have seen, read, or heard about her on In Company of Angels, on Fox News, on CNN, Seeing Beyond, or numerous other television and radio shows. She is the author of Creative Intimacy and Anna Miracles. When you are ready to change your life but not sure of how, call Dr. Lori Moore. She has successfully helped hundreds of people. When you wish to know what your animal wishes to say to you, call Dr. Lori Moore, expert animal communicator known for her co-teaching with Penelope Smith. Dr. Lori Moore is available at www.animiracles.com, and that's animiracles.com. Now, she also has an amazing global teleclass coming up. It's no cost. It's Can You Be a Health Coach? It's being led by Deborah Riley. It is being held on the 11th of January at 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Email address, I will I'm just trying to look at the details here of where I will at some point in the show we will go over it again with the exact contact details to get a hold of it. But for now, let me bring on to the show Dr. Lori Moore.
I want to make a clarification. I actually do have a big free teleconference coming up on animal communication in February, and I'll send you details as we get closer to the time.
Oh.
But the health coach call that I wanted to invite everyone to is just a colleague of mine. I won't be there. I'm not teaching it. I'm not hosting it. I'm simply spreading the word.
Oh,
I appreciate my colleague.
Harvey.
Yeah. So just to make that clear, I'm not a health coach. yeah.
Don't worry.
Yeah.
I didn't know, so I thought it was yours. So I apologize. But still,
no
it's
worry.
Worth going if you want to be a health coach. This is 2012. It's time, you know, for a new life, new body, new change, new shift, new everything.
Yeah. And so I'm here to talk about animal communication, personal transformation, and spiritual awakening, which is what I have taught and counseled people for years. And many people ask, well, that sounds like three very different topics. But in my experience, they're really not. As we awaken more and more deeply, we, of course, go through personal transformation, and the animals have been my greatest teachers for that. So the three topics are very interconnected. Of course, some people just come to me to reach a personal goal, to transform something in their life, a self-defeating habit, or to manifest a dream, while others call me because they wish to know what is my animal saying to me, an animal who's alive or an animal who's passed over. And in the process, people find themselves going more and more deeply into states of unconditional love, peace, and joy, because that is truly my intention, to take people back to those inherent realms which are existent in them. And I shouldn't say take them back, but to remind them that they can take themselves back. So thank you. I'm so happy to be back on your show. It's always a delight.
I'm so glad that you're here. And, of course, this is our first show together of 2012. And Finnegan is just thrilled that you're on here. He's already body checked me a couple of times, barked up a storm, and he's now decided to take over the couch since he knows you're now here.
Well, Finnegan really wanted people to understand that we can create much more deeply from the truest source of our heart's desire than some of us have been in the past. He wants people to understand that there's a lot of support and help for what it is your heart's really, really longing to bring out on the planet, as people are able to be more honest with themselves the way the animals are on a very basic heart level. We find that really all we want to bring out is what is truly inside us, and what is truly inside us is a capacity for immense love.
He said all that. I'm impressed.
I articulated it in human words, but Finnegan's intention was very clear. Yes.
It's just, you're saying all these wonderful things, and he's looking. He's just totally gone berserk here. But anyway,
what's
I
he
guess
doing?
He's happy. Oh, he's got his paws going. He's just like swinging. He's just
got
really
a lot
excited.
Of energy, huh? Yeah.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah.
Well, people are probably wondering why is Dr. Lori Moore thinking that the dog said all that? So let me explain. Animals, like people, send out pictures, words, feelings, sounds. Many times I used to call people when they were thinking about me and asking me a question telepathically, and they would say, I was just thinking about you. How did you know? And the reason I knew is because they were sending a message to me from their heart. And the animals, we send messages to each other all day. We're all heart telepathic. You don't learn to be heart telepathic. You're born heart telepathic. It's the natural way of existence. And we forget, as we become intellectualized into types of thinking that divide our mind and heart. Naturally, our mind and heart have no division between them. They're the same. The brain and the heart work as one. And so the animals speak in different ways. So I can talk to one animal, and an animal might give me a lot of words. Some animals will give me more words than the words I reported a few minutes ago. In Finnegan's case, Finnegan doesn't go for the words, but Finnegan sends me the energy and the photographs. Finnegan sends me pictures, and energy. And so I just quickly interpret it as though I was reading poetry, and I have to quickly convert it, as if I was an interpreter switching English to Spanish. I don't have that particular skill, but just to give an example, I have a good friend who does that for a living. And so what I'm doing is I'm listening to the person or the animal on their terms. They're either giving me pictures or sounds or feelings or physical sensations or words, and then I'm just translating it all into words, because words is one way that we're all invested at this time in history in connecting. We're all willing to connect in that way. We're socialized to connect in that way. So I just offer translation on the animal's behalf, and they tend to make it clear if they're being heard right. They will give signs, and, you know, they will give some kind of response to make it very clear. Sometimes animals say things, and it's hard to believe. I was mentioning on another show of yours when a dog told me that that dog would soon be dying, but that dog would send yellow flowers as kind of a sign of love to the person, and the yellow flowers would appear on the dog's birthday. And the person thought I was crazy because there's no yellow flowers in her garden, so it didn't make any sense. But I've learned over the years, just say what the animals say, because they access from realms way beyond what we do usually as humans. So I just stuck by it and let it go. And then sure enough, a few months later, I received a call from that person, and on the birthday of that dog who had now passed, yellow flowers mysteriously grew in her garden. She hadn't seen yellow flowers there before. So animals are very multifaceted in how they communicate. They're having to work their senses in all kinds of ways to manage their environments, whether their environments include predators or humans or friends of other species or similar species. And then they're communicating on many telepathic levels as well. The whales, even the scientists would agree, not just the woo-woos. And, you know, I'm like a woo-woo and a scientist type, so I can see the validity of questioning everything, and I also trust my intuition both. But the scientists will now agree with the woo-woos.
I love that expression, woo-woos. I'm a woo-woo too.
So we're both woo-woos, so that the that the whales have the most sophisticated language system on the planet. It's far more complex than the human language system. And so I really invite people to begin to think of all animals anthropologically. When you go into another culture, you can't assume you understand anything going on. If you pass judgment on it, you're probably way off in left field, not knowing what's happening, because we grow up with certain customs and rituals. We habituate to think they're normal. But if we were visiting from outer space and we saw our own rituals, we'd say, those are really odd. So if we go into another culture, we don't really understand the meaning behind certain customs until we start asking a lot of questions. Well, I'm inviting people to do that with the culture of animals, because different species have so much going on to what they're doing. And we might say, oh, that's cute, when something much more meaningful or purposeful is occurring.
Oh, that's well put. And I'm really glad that you mentioned about how Finnegan gives information to you, because I didn't realize he gave photographs or visuals in that respect. And the odd time I have had visuals, because I don't usually get my information visually.
Yes.
And to suddenly have now that I'm getting visuals.
Yes.
That's Finn talking to me.
Yeah, you got it, because, see, and that's really key. When we can just be open to how other people and animals communicate to us, that will happen, because I'm actually much more feeling and auditory. But when I talk to Finnegan, it becomes visual. Just like you said, when you talk to Finnegan, visual isn't your first method of communication yourself, but it started to become that way with Finnegan, because you are so sensitive to Finnegan. And so when we can open ourselves up to other people and animals' different types of communication, we see the world really differently. Most people just run around assuming everyone sees the world the way they did. I wish I could take every person on this planet, I could borrow their soul and stick it in someone else's body just for an hour. They would be shocked. Nobody sees the world the same way. Everyone has a very unique perception, as is the case with animals, regardless of what species.
Wow, that is good information. And with the whales, there's a lot of really nice New Age music out that actually incorporates the song of the whales. And it's when you listen to the whales, the sound, even the dolphins, but the whales more so, I mean, it just mesmerizes you, the sounds. I mean, there's no music on the planet I can think of that touches the soul in the way the sounds of the whales do.
Thank you for mentioning that. The whales really pull us back in with their sounds to places of great devotion. And it's the whales who taught me oneness as a reality rather than a concept, because for many years in my life, I experienced that I was separate from everything and each being was separate from each other, and the whales just knocked that baloney out of my system in a loving way, just through taking me to this vast oneness that once I was there, it never disappeared. Our sounds are part of who we are. So when we hear the sound of an animal or a human, we absorb much more than just the sound itself. It carries with it everything about who that animal or human is. And the whales, of course, carry the history of our entire planet in their being. They're the historics. They're the record keepers of all time. And so they offer so much with those beautiful sounds. You can go to Douglas Webster's website, dolphinville.com, and I think he used to have live sounds up, live streaming sounds when he was out on the boats, and he has tape-recorded sounds from when he's out on the boats with the whales, and that you can go hear that right now or after the show, dolphinville.com.
I'm going to have to speak to him and ask if I could get a couple of recordings to put on to perhaps play.
Yes, he does beautiful gifts and contributions to this planet, taking people to swim with dolphins and to meet whales. And he's a really wonderful liaison between the dolphins and whales and the humans.
It's needed right now.
Yes.
So needed.
We need to recognize that we live in a big community of many species. It's not the humans and then a bunch of animals running around, you know, to serve us. Or, you know, someone said, well, God put the animals here for us. Well, that's a pretty egocentric view of humanhood. I mean, I guess who am I to say anyone's right or wrong? That's their perspective. But everyone's here together. Nobody's here for someone else. We're here each in our own right together to awaken everybody, to experience, to learn, to be here, to participate together, every species, the butterfly and the whale, the human and the canine, the tree and the sky, everybody, the angel and the elf, everybody.
Well, interesting, because in Native tradition, I mean, number one, animals, the insect world, the birds, for their physical size, they are far greater, far stronger, and far more connected than we are.
Yes.
On a conscious level.
Yeah, talk about something that's tender and light and fragile being strong. The big, strongest trees, when the storm or the hurricane hits, the big kind of really densely strong trees can break. But we met these trees in Molokai, and they were so tall, and I was afraid, you know, something might happen. And I learned that, no, those trees, those long, kind of light, skinny, long trees, they just bend when the wind comes. They never break. They just bend. They live through it. It really brought to my attention, because sometimes things that are light can just adjust. Things that are porous or watery can adjust, because our culture's like, get dense, get strong, you know, get your muscles so bulky that you can't move and be flexible. And it's not that I'm against strength. We need strength. I'm all for strength. I work out to gain strength. You know, it's good. But if it's not tempered and balanced with what can float and fly and flex, then it's like there's missing elements. And some of these animals that are so flexible or so able to fly, their strength is of a very different nature than sometimes what our culture has come to, you know, this warrior fighting strength. Well, what does that do over time but kill itself out? But something that can flex and acquiesce and move like Aikido or Tai Chi can move with the changing times in a way of love. And what a beautiful gift is given by some of these creatures that have this whole other way of existing in the physical world.
Oh, that's so true. And, of course, in the Native tradition, it was always it's the animals who offered themselves to service. I mean, it was a choice that they made to gift of their fur or their meat or to be of service. But it never changed the spirituality, the infiniteness of who they were.
I've learned more about service from animals than anyone, because most humans who taught me about service had a little tainted bit of guilt, or you have to, or you should, or better than. And bless us humans, I'm not putting anyone down for that, because I have all that junk in my consciousness. But the animals just serve and joy. They just do what they came to do. And that's what I learned to do when I met my cat and started getting much closer to a lot of different kinds of animals. I got so clear that just doing what I love and being in joy was my service, and not to try to bend into something that looks like service or appears like service or someone else approves of it as service, but to just do what my heart sings happily about, and that's what touches others when we're just being ourselves. It's a great service.
Oh, that is so well put. Now, does Jesse have any messages for us for 2012? Because, you know, he's pretty powerful there, and I know that he has some pretty great stuff coming out.
Well, Jesse just wants to invite everyone really to be themselves, to just listen so deeply beyond what any philosophy, religion, psychology, magazine, newspaper, internet, anyone, your next-door neighbor, beyond what anyone else is telling you, which is all beautiful and valid to witness, experience, and be inspired by, but to really listen to your own heart and try to go with that of your own heart, what your own heart emanates, to trust that and listen to that, to allow that to be the source of your experience.
Oh, I like that message. It actually is very similar to Finnegan's message.
Yes. Yes, there are many, many callings and messages of love and the unconditional from all the teacher animals. All the animals I've met that are actually master teachers are inviting us back to the unconditional. Anyone I met on the planet who was teaching something deeply, profoundly worthwhile was inviting someone back to the unconditional. So there's many of us right now, many people and many animals, many insects and many elements, inviting everyone back to the unconditional.
It's for me, I've always paid a lot of attention to the animals around me, and I find that if you just slightly open your awareness, the animals interact with you on a regular basis, continuously. And if you just watch their interactions with each other or watch what they're doing in a particular point in time, you get the message about focus, or seeing something small or seeing the big picture. It's like magpies. We don't have magpies in North America, but we have magpies here. And they were the very first animal that came to me. Of course, all my totems are North American totems, and I come here and there's no totems, no animal energy. And of course, immediately within a period of days, you know, totems appeared to me to work with me here, and magpie was one of them. And they come around, and it's like there could be 10 of them, but one stands out. And you immediately get what they're trying to say to you or what they're trying to show you, or if you're having a bad day, they make you smile or, you know, think of something else. And that has been a saving grace for me for 20-plus years, is that aspect of just with the wild animals or the hummingbird that shows up or the dragonfly that flies by, or, you know, that's my gift.
Thank you so much. An open heart allows for others to come by and to be touched by who comes by who passes by whatever species passes by. I met a woman. I was over at the gym, and I started talking to her, and she said, "Gosh, I'm new here, and I'm so surprised you talk to me, because no one else in this gym is really friendly. They're just like really focused on doing their thing and swimming their laps or whatever they're doing." And I just said, "Oh, you know, I didn't know if it was true or not. I hadn't really thought about it." And then I went into the steam room and I was just meditating in there, and I came out and I saw her again. She said, "I've got to tell you something. I learned something from the last time I saw you." And I'm like, "That's interesting. The last time you saw me was like just 20 minutes ago. You must be a fast learner." And she said,
yeah.
she said, "Everyone at this gym is very friendly. It was me. I kept, you know, creating this reality that no one wanted to talk." And then I thought, well, maybe they do. And I started talking to people. And in the last 20 minutes, I've had these wonderful conversations. So she was such a sweet reminder to me of how many times I think something's happening, but I'm kind of creating it. I'm co-creating it to happen. And when I just go back to lovingly being present, all kinds of other experiences happen, like the ones you're talking about. The animals of different species can show up and be in conversation with us, and so can the humans.
Yeah, I find that with humans is that if you're closed, everything around you is closed. If you're open or have an invitation to communicate, people come out of the woodworks to communicate with you. And it's always, if I'm in an expansive and open frame of mind, that's all I receive back.
I'm so happy that you allowed so many different birds to come and be with you, and I feel how excited they are to share that delicious excitement of life itself, of existence, of reality and motion with you. It just feels so wonderful. Thanks for sharing that with us.
Oh, you're welcome. I say when it's red-tailed hawk and owl are two big ones that I have in North America. But here, it's like a red-tailed hawk. It's more like a Harris hawk. They call it a buzzard, though. But for us, a buzzard is a vulture.
Oh.
But I was walking in the forest, and this enormous had to be female, because usually the female is the bigger of the hawks because she guards the nest. But she swooped down like within a foot and a half of my head, and I was walking in the trail, and it was before I brought Finn over, because I came across a couple of weeks ahead of Finn to set up, and then went back and brought him over.
Yes.
And so I was alone at that point, and this hawk kept on swooping over my head, and I thought, okay, there must be a nest nearby, but it wasn't. It was loosening one of its feathers, and it dropped a huge wing feather, and I picked it up and I thanked it, and I was walking along farther, and it kept on sweeping again, and then it dropped the other wing feather.
Wow.
And right at the crux of a small pathway to go up in the forest. So I picked it up, I said thank you, and I followed the small path instead of the main road. And when I got to the top of the hill, which the vista is just gorgeous up on the top of this hill, he flew by and dropped this beautiful tail feather.
Wow.
And then it kept on sitting on top of the tree, and it was like he'd fly ahead 25 feet, and I'd walk and he'd fly ahead 25 feet, and it was just like, thank you. And it was like, that's the kind of gifts I had here, like the animals making their presence known to me, and that I was supported by the animal world, because I did feel disconnected, because all of the animals that I communicated with in Canada don't exist here, you know? It's like, I felt,
what,
you know,
a beautiful honoring.
Yeah.
Yes. Wow.
And I mean, I've got my feather box. I've got all kinds of feathers now. And even when I went to Bahamas, it's like I had this parrot that decided to drop me one of its feathers. It's just like, so it's whenever I'm someplace where I don't have a normal totem, they always appear to make sure that they know I'm supported in the animal world.
What a beautiful honoring that you're so receptive to. I feel so touched to hear that experience that you keep having. That's just very, very honoring of your great heart and being that allows this communication. Thank you for telling us.
You're welcome. I had I was in Sedona, and I was in the back of Cathedral Rock, and I think it's Lynx or Bob. It's Lynx, the small little cat's Lynx with the big point little furry ears. I had a Lynx that kept on coming out and running across my track in front of my on the trail I was on. A little Lynx. It's just, and of course that's not an animal that's around where, you know, really that I've seen before, but just, you know, it was a bit scary at first. A wild cat. But yeah, it's if you're even just, you just have to give the awareness, just a split second awareness, and the animals just will flood in there.
That's a beautiful gift that you have that capability. That's really special. And yes, everyone has it, but you found it. You found it, and you're with it.
Yeah, the animals, they are, yeah. And I think through that, I think that's part of the work that I meant to do with the animals. But I was gifted my a golden eagle feather in 2006.
Wow.
So that's...
Well, this is very moving and inspiring. I'm so happy you're telling us about this. This is just wonderful.
I don't talk about this aspect of the work that I do. And maybe it's time. I was wondering, it was like, it's funny, maybe the show is, I was just speaking to Jesse and I said, you know, what is it that I need to do in this year to bring my gifts out? What do I have to offer that I have not shared?
Oh, yeah.
Because I think that it's being of service, is 2012, to allow others to be of service to us and for us to be of service to others. And it's like, of all of the unique things that I've experienced, where have I not shared that might open the door for someone else? Like, you know, it's what you had the gift, and now you're sharing your gift after the gift was given to you, you know, the opening. And that's kind of, maybe that's what this show is about, is what can we do in 2012 to step to the next stage and be of service in a different way?
Thank you. You're saying that we can do that by sharing just what's true in our heart and our experience. We can simply share the gifts that were given to us, our experiences, our beautiful, moving, inspired experiences, and others benefit. I like this model. I think we've had enough on the planet of people having to pretend they're authorities. I think when we just share truthfully what happens, then we don't have to be in certain roles where authorities are expected to be something or other, and then they expect themselves to be something or other, but we just start uplifting and evolving into something new as a multiple species planet.
Oh, that would be wonderful. Mm-hmm. You know, in Native, they talk about the spider weaves the future, weaves the language of communication, and of course then light workers or woo-woo people, they talk about the grid around the planet and that. But for me, it's always been a spider web. The whole planet is a spider web of how we're all interconnected. And there's the sticky part to the spider web where we connect and we're like stuck to people. And then there's the looser parts where there's still a connection, but it's more free-flowing. And I think maybe is the realization of that, just how interconnected we all are with everything, including the planet as a whole. I mean, she is the driving force for us, really, when you think about it, because without her, none of us would exist on this planet.
Yeah. Well, how eloquently you're speaking today. I'm so happy to hear you sharing so much.
it's coming out. It's just, I asked the question, right? And this is obviously what is meant to be.
Yes. I would like to share that while I'm working on my book, speaking about Red Tail Hawk and the Owl and the Spider, that one of the books is a rewrite of The Cat's Reincarnation. I'm rewriting it, and it's called Unconditional Trust and Love, and it's true journeys I had with different animals. And there's a beautiful journey I had with a red tail hawk, one with an owl, and one with a spider. And if anyone would like to preview any of these chapters before the book comes out in a few months, and you can even give feedback because I might make some changes before the book comes out. I won't change the truth of the story, but it might change the way I express things so it becomes clearer and clearer. Anyone can pop me an email and I'll just send you along some chapters for your enjoyment. You can find me at annamiracles.com. My contact information is there. It's animiracles.com. That's animiracles.com.
Oh, I'd love to read some of the chapters, that's for sure. I have a question in the chat room about how a woman has two French mastiffs, and she's asking if you could possibly help her to communicate better with her pets. They're both female. It's a mother and daughter. So
I need okay, so one at a time I need to hear a name, a species, a gender, and an age. That's how I locate and make sure I'm talking to the right animal.
I've got it all for you. It's a dog, female. Her name is Bree, and she's 6 years old.
Okay, so everyone on the air will hear silence because I take a moment to locate where my heart and that being's heart are connected. So once again, so it's, you said Bree?
Bree, it's a female dog, Bree, and she is 6.
Okay, just a minute, please. Can I have the name of the or is it confidential?
Oh no, it's CK. CK is CK me is her
okay.
her
sometimes
ID.
Sometimes that helps me when I still can't quite find the animal. Okay, just a second. And is there a question about Bree?
She's just asking how she can communicate with them better.
Oh, okay. Well, so let me just give everyone a lesson on communicating with your animals right now, because we communicate better by doing these practices that I'm about to offer in general to everyone. So we start by sending gratitude to whomever we want to speak to. And I ask that we practice this with humans as well as animals. So whether you're writing an email or you're passing someone on the street or they're coming in because they're your client or they're your colleague or they're your family member or your friend, just take a moment of silence and be in gratitude for the source creator. And then extend that gratitude over to that being. So in this case, it would be to extend the gratitude to the one of the dogs one at a time. You know, take your time, communicate with beings one-on-one. Sometimes we have a gift to communicate with lots of beings at once, and that's good too. But today I'll speak about communicating one-on-one. And so then send your gratitude to the being with whom you wish to be in communication. And, the deepest form of communication is just to be in love and gratitude. We make it so complicated. That's enough. But then if you would like to know more about that being in another way, then after you've spent some time in silent gratitude, ask that being from your heart to theirs, is there anything you would like to communicate to me? You might even start with, would you like to communicate with me? And you'll get some kind of a feeling or a picture or a sound of yes or no. You might not be sure at first because you might be new at practicing this, and so you might not be sure. And not being sure is a very wonderful state to be in, because those who aren't sure learn, and those who aren't sure become very humble. And so maybe never be 100% sure, but do find some certainty on the planet. Seek to find that you can feel the animal saying yes or no. Just if you're not sure, just know you're not sure. The hearing of the animal will grow in time. So once you have established, you have a feeling or some affirmation, you think somehow the animal is saying, yes, I want to communicate with you, then ask the animal, this is key, is there anything you would like to communicate with me? Because lots of people, I've seen them just kind of bulldoze on each other and on animals, like asking questions that are irrelevant to the animal or expecting communications that's irrelevant to the person. So open your heart to behold who is before you by encountering what it is that's important to them. So you just ask, is there anything you wish to communicate to me? And many animals will be very receptive, like people, to this, and they'll start to find ways to communicate to you. They'll send you pictures or thoughts or words or feelings or sensations. And that is the best way to start to improve your communication.
Oh, wonderful. Nice energy. Bree has nice energy.
So, does the person who emailed in have anything more specific, or did that answer the question?
That answered the question on communicating. I guess she'd like to know if there's a message from Bree.
Okay, just a minute, please. Bree's just happy that that Bree's person friend has a care to improve her ability to communicate. To improve ability to communicate, and so Bree's just kind of feeling celebratory about that.
So I'd be curious to know, CK, if you're seeing any physical response from Bree for getting the chance to give her message to you. And the other dog, it's also female, and she's 4 years old, and her name is Bella.
Okay, just a minute, please. Okay. Well, Bella's very happy to please. Bella likes to please, although there's another side to Bella that would like to do things Bella's way. But Bella feels relieved when Bella knows I'm pleasing. And so it's not really a message, it's just a communication Belle is making about who am I.
They like to know that, yeah, it's funny, because even when you've given messages, I get a response from Finn to show that he's really happy to know that he's been acknowledged.
Yeah, it's so interesting when animals come over here. They love, lots of times people say, I never saw my animal do that. They'll do some kind of acknowledgement, you know, they'll come over, they'll come over to me and they'll do something, and the person said, I never saw them do that before, because they really do want to say, thank you so much for listening. All I've wanted is to be listened to. Everyone wants to be listened to. It's such a gift to listen to others. People, animals, just love to be received.
Well, apparently she did go towards her, and then she presented her tushy for scratching. Hey, they know how to ask for what they need. That's the one thing with animals, which we could learn sometimes, to actually be honest in our expression for what we need.
And they're so smart. They know how, because I was at a party for New Year's. Ray and I were over at a party, and a little dog walked up to me. And the dog said, I need a new door. Just walked up to me and said, I need a new door. And I'm like, that's interesting. So I went, found the person who goes with the dog, and I said, your dog says, I need a new door. And the person said, oh, my dog has used this door for years and years and had an accident last week, and the dog had bumped his nose on the door and hurt his face. And so it's like, I thought, that's remarkable. Like, how did that dog know to walk up to me and say, I need a door, that I would listen and that I would go do something about it? They just know. They know who to ask and what to say, and they're not, you know, the dog didn't do any pretenses like, oh, you know, well, should I ask? Is it okay to ask? You know, the dog just walked right up and asked.
Yes.
Very refreshing.
And the thing is, that's the thing, cats are really good at doing that as well. Like, that's what I've owned my cats. There is nothing like having a cat that, I mean, for self-pleasure, self-joy, relaxation, complete and other. I mean, cats do it better than any other animal I've ever seen. I mean, it's like the world revolves around the cats, and everyone else is a servant unto the cat. And I swear with all of my cats, yes, they were my owner. I was of service to them, and the fact that they let me be in their lives, that was their gift to me. Dogs are quite that bold. Though I think they still have that energy, but cats are unique in, yeah, I've had some very unique cats. Actually, you know, the cat I would love to hear from would be Cinders. Cinders was the oldest of the cats I ever had, and she died around 22.
Okay, let me find her just a second.
And she was the most amazing healing cat I ever knew.
Well, she is a healer. I mean, she's a very, very profound healer, and she goes right to the heart.
Yeah.
She immediately identifies anything and whoever she's in contact with that isn't completely pure, warm, loving. And she starts to operate like a surgeon. She extracts any energies that are not needed, replacing them with the person's essence or the animal's essence. And she's very, very focused on this gift that she has. While she's on the other side, she's actually continuing to develop it even more, although it was profoundly developed. She's just using it to even do that more. And apparently she does work with beings who are incarnated while she's on the other side. But she's a breath of fresh air, and she can see into a person's heart and soul. She can see what's out of balance, what's needed, and she can just immediately start performing an operation to bring anyone back into deeper balance and resonance of who they really are meant to be via their heart. That's an amazing being.
I've had two cats that were, the other cat, there was Cinders and Missy. They were very similar. Cinders, though, if I was doing any healing work, she would bray down the door to be in the room. Like, she was under the table. She was on the table. She'd be positioning her paws on a person's body in different ways. She'd be kneading, like my nephew has Crohn's and he'd had a surgery and he was having problems in his stomach, and she's on his stomach and she's kneading right across the scar tissue. And that's just Cinders was just unbelievable like that. If anything was being done in the house energy wise, or I was doing any kind of work or teaching, right there participating, she'd, like, you know, if someone was not grounded, she'd be like up at the top of their head sucking energy and then lying on their feet to pull them down. It was just,
yeah, she knows how to balance the physical, the emotional, the spiritual, and the mental all at once. She has an incredible gift.
I mean, 22 years old, and I mean, it wasn't until like the last year and a half that she actually aged. Like, if you saw her, you would think she was a 2 or 3 year old cat, and she was like 20.
Wow.
And my other cat, Missy, was the same. And I mean, Missy was 21 when she died, and they both were house cats.
Yeah, Missy
both
has
rescues.
Another kind of healing talent. Missy brings in a flash of light and does it really differently than Cinders, but also has this profound healing gift. It's used in a very different way. But Missy can just, like, someone might think they just saw a flash of light, and then suddenly, all of a sudden, they feel really calm and spacious. They feel like any stresses they were carrying with them a second ago just left. Like the frame in a movie shifted, reality totally changed.
That was, and I just, like, you corrected me when, because I, her real name was Misty. It was actually Mischief, which then was Misty, and then was Missy at the end. But you actually said Misty, which is what we used to call her originally.
Oh.
So sorry, Misty. But yeah, it's I do healing work, and it's amazing that those are the cats that came to me to work with me, and they both were amazing. Everyone loved them. I mean, they were shy cats.
They're amazing cats. You must do really profound healing work if that's who your partners have been. If that's who you. You know, it's no coincidence what animals, I've seen it over and over, show up with people. There's just no coincidence. It's always complete synchronicity. It's always a team effort. You know, the learnings, the karmas, the gifts are always being worked together. I'm not saying that everyone is the same as everyone else. Everyone's distinct, but there's a reason. You know, there's a correlation between their gifts and your gifts of healing.
Yes.
You each do it in your own way, but it's apparently quite profound. If that's who your partners were, I can't even imagine. Your healings must be wonderful.
Well, it's funny because I haven't done much here, and I know as soon as I go back, I know there's a cat that's there for me. I know. It's funny, like, I haven't met a cat here. There's been no cats expressed interest to come here. There's no cats I've seen that... But I know that as soon as I go home that there's a cat waiting for me, and it wouldn't surprise me if it was one of them decide to come back.
Yeah. I think that's highly possible. Yeah.
It's just, I think that I meant to do that work, that aspect of my healing work in North America, because there is a different energy and a different vibration planetarily there. And that's something else we could talk a little bit about on another show, about the vibration of the earth and how it is different.
Yes, it's very different in different locations. And that's actually why I take people to Hawaii. You know, in February we have the teleconference coming up where hundreds of people will call in from all over the planet. And that makes a very special vibration because we have a mix of vibrations from all different countries. And it's a free teleconference on animal communication. And it's going to be on day after Valentine's Day. And all you have to do is email me, and then I'll put you on the list to get the information. It's Laurie@drlauriemoore.com. Laurie@drlaurie, that's LaurieMoore.com. Just tell me you want a free ticket to the Animal Communication Teleconference. But getting back to the topic that you raised, Carol, the reason I take people to Hawaii is because the Lemurian vibration there, it's so spacious and high. It's just like peace on earth, and anything that's not starts to get cleansed. And people have these experiences of joy, peace, and love, and facing the things in themselves that aren't that, that are ready to be dissolved and evaporated so quickly. And, you know, there's so many sacred places on the earth that offer very amazingly wonderful vibrations. So I did want to invite all your listeners to come to Hawaii in the spring with me, where I will be working with people on awakening, on animal communication, and on personal transformation.
That would be fabulous.
We'll be on the Big Island, and people can also, you know, they can call Douglas Webster or Celeste Eden to set up, or Captain Vito, to go out on the boat and meet the dolphins, or to go just swim offshore and meet the dolphins with expert guides. But their time with me will be preparing for not just that, but communication with all species of animals, or and their own personal transformation and their awakening. And we'll be in a beautiful, beautiful location on Big Island, and pretty secluded. And so I invite people to also call me or email me if you'd like to get information so that you can participate. A really loving, intimate heart kind of group is what tends to gather again and again and again in these seminars. So just pop me an email if you want information about, specific information about the next Hawaii event. And again, it's Lori, L-A-U-R-I-E, at dr, as in doctor, LoriMoore.com. It's Lori at dr, as in doctor, LoriMoore, it's M-O-O-R-E.com. And I'll send you your free ticket to the February teleconference on animal communication, and I'll send you detailed information on the Hawaii seminar, where you can transform yourself, you can learn to talk with animals, and you can go through some very profound awakenings of the heart and soul.
Oh, that is going to be an amazing event. I know I can't make it for sure and this one, but I will try and make it to the next one. It's time. I loved Hawaii when I was there, and the energy in Hawaii, it is just, it was the cleanest, finest, like really fine light energy that I'd ever experienced. I found places similar, like for me, Manitoulin Island in northern Ontario, Lake Huron. Mm. It's the largest unceded reservation in the world, but it's just the energy up there with the Great Lakes, and it's like the Great Canadian North, the Canadian Shield. It also has a similar vibration, and I think it's because it's not as populated, similar to the Hawaiian Islands. It's above it, you know, above that part of it, you're getting into like the Northern Passage, just starting to head up that way, and so you've got salt water, fresh water.
Sounds really, really lovely and really magic and really full of a silent kind of communication that could be just such a reverent experience to embrace.
Well, that was when I went through a dark period, a dark night of the soul. I ended up there. I'd never been, and I went there for to go overnight and stayed for a week and a half.
Ah, yes.
And it was just, it's basically, it's like cottage country. There are very few people that live on the island in the winter months, but there's really no street lights. So, I mean, you're in like the middle of nowhere. It's like complete and total blackness. And like
wow.
The stars and the northern lights are just phenomenal.
Wow.
So, and I think, I think that's what I'm missing, the energy of North America, because it is different. It's like here there's a lot of historical energy and for tapping into past events.
Yeah.
But when you come to North America, it's a new country, and the vibration is different. The drum beat is different.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to use that because it is a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
And I think why everyone tries to come to the new world is because they're ready to move out of the paradigm that they're in, in the old energy.
Mm. Thank you for that reflection.
Yeah. It's just little words just coming out tonight.
Yeah.
I'm just allowing it just to flow and come.
Wonderful. Yeah. You're going through a big birth. I'm so happy to be a witness to it. It's beautiful. Thank you for sharing it.
Well, you've helped in this with the animals and with the, opening the invitation to open up. I mean, this aspect coming up has been a better understanding of what I was doing without understanding, if that makes sense.
It makes perfect sense. It makes complete sense. Yes, you've just put some more articulation to what came naturally to you.
Yeah, it's a consciousness to it as opposed to an unconsciousness to it.
Yes, yes, I get it, yes.
So, yes, thank you for being the gift.
Oh, I was hoping that maybe in 2012 I would just show up and not say anything anywhere and everything would happen. I think it's happening. Well, I have said a lot, but you said quite a lot today, and I've really enjoyed it. I even did get an email right after I made that. Maybe it was a wish or an intention. I haven't decided. But, I mean, I don't feel attached to it, but I was curious, is there a way, because my deepest work is in silence, I could just go in silence to people. And so many times I can do deeper work when I'm just allowed to be silent. And then someone emailed me that she had gone through a really deep healing with me in silence when I wasn't there. People send me, I've heard that a lot over the years, but what was really interesting was she said, you know, thanks for coming to me and doing this work on me. And I'm like, look, I'll be honest, I did nothing. I mean, I didn't do anything, and I wasn't even working on her. She wasn't even on my mind. See, what I'm trying to say is, like, when we just be ourselves and vibrate what we've spent our life dissolving into, everyone picks up and benefits. I'm saying we all do that, not me, everyone. So I'm just delighted that we can benefit each other the way the animals do just by vibrating what we are.
Yes, and yeah. If the animals would open the doorway for us again tonight.
Yes, yes.
And Finnegan is like totally flopped out now, totally content. He's mauled his ball. He's now like just chilled out there saying, okay, my work is done now. It's like, okay, nothing else for me to say. I'm here now. It's my time.
Oh, Carol, by the way, the Hawaii seminar, it looks like it's being changed from March to later in the year, April or May. I'm waiting to hear back from the hosts on that. So I just wanted to let you and your listeners know, because it might make it possible for some people to come who couldn't before.
Well, that there's a better possibility at the end of May thereabouts for me. I'm in Canada at the end of February into the 22nd of March, because I'm having my first grandbaby.
Congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you. Yes, we're thinking it's, I'm thinking it's a boy, but anyway.
Yeah. Great. Well, hey, maybe you'll be able to come if it's at the end of May. I'll spread the word once I know. I'm just waiting for some people to let me know. So, yeah.
Dude, if I can get there, I will get there, but it's...
Oh, it would be so wonderful to have you there. Really wonderful. Yeah.
It is, yeah, it's time for me to go back there, because I definitely still have an anchor there. I
yeah.
swear I must have put down about 60 anchors saying, coming back, anchor.
Yeah.
Get an energy cord in here, coming back.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you so much. We have another show next week.
Oh, great. Oh, good. I'll look forward to that.
Yeah.
I never remember my calendar, but luckily people tell me, so I show up where I'm supposed to be.
Show up.
Okay, this is great. I can't wait. Thank you so much for having me. It was really fun tonight.
It's really fun. But it's true what you say. I don't really look at my calendar anymore, because I always seem to end up being reminded of things.
You know, I have to tell you a funny story about authority, because there is this funny thing, I mentioned it earlier, it's on my mind today, this whole thing about authority, because I really think 2012 is the time we're going to break down lots of the assumptions about authority, and everyone needs to learn to be their own authority in a way. But there was one day a few years ago where I mixed the day up, and I just went through my day calling clients. I do a lot of phone sessions since I work with people around the world. And no one said anything. Everyone just went along with it. Like, I was on the wrong day, so they assumed, well, you know, if she's doing it, it's right, because I'm supposed to be the authority or something. I went through a very big portion of the day, and no one said, you know, Lori, it's the wrong day and the wrong time. They just went along with their session, and I had a meeting. And I was like, yeah. I found that to be really funny. And fascinating, very fascinating. Well, it made me look very deeply at my own conditioning and the assumptions I've placed on authority figures, very deeply at that. I just think this is a good topic for 2012. Maybe we'll go into it more in the next show. Like, what is authority? And can we let everybody be human and really start to listen to our own authority and work in teams now? I think that's a lot of what's starting to happen A lot of teamwork is coming in. I'm hearing this from many people, and I'm experiencing it myself. So I'll just leave everyone with that thought. And not to make it right or wrong, as you notice in the animal world, some work in groups, some work alone, some work in couples, and it's all welcome. It's just an inquiry point, that's all. Because life's fascinating, and it's playful, and it's fun to think. Because, hey, you know what, we can go into deep silence, but thinking is also a wonderful experience that happens simultaneously. So let's give it some credit, too. And thank you, everybody, and I'll look forward to speaking with you next week.
I look forward to it. You have a fabulous day, and my love to both you and to Jesse, and Finn sends his love, too.
Likewise. Okay, take care.
Good night, Dr. Lori.
Good night.
And that was Dr. Lori Moore from Anna Miracles. It's been a really great show tonight, talking about animal communication. Now, I have another mini-series starting, which is part of the Holiday Thrival Kit. And this is Angela Gower Johnson. Now, she is an Access Consciousness Facilitator. She also does shamanic work, native work, and she blends the two together to create her own healing ability. Now, the four episodes we're doing in the month of January, the show titles for those are Choosing for You in 2012. Episode 1, which is this Saturday, the 7th, is all about how to expand your business awareness skills. And that's about how using your intuition and expanding your business awareness. Next Saturday, the 14th, will be Expanding Your Awareness, Tapping into Your Intuition. The 21st is A Beautiful Body, Working with Your Body. That's the 21st. And on the 28th, the final show is Being Your Greatness. So I hope you can join me for that. All of the shows are 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. GMT. Thank you so much for joining me tonight, and I look forward to seeing you all on Saturday the 7th. I'm going to close the show with Jesse Jordan's Boys. Namaste.
Wish I could tell my younger self all the things that I now know so well. I would sit her down and begin to spell out all life's mysteries. I would say that high school is just a stage. All the pain you feel is just a thing. It'll pass as you become of age and you grow up to be me. And this one last thing, I'll make sure she knows that the boy that makes him love her so. This is what we'll think, and she's better off not giving me. Tell all the girls.